23. Just found on page 15, 15 and 16. So at this point, the catechism is wrapping up its study on the Apostles' Creed which we just confessed. And now it's sort of summarizing what, so what? Now that we believe all of these things, what is the result of that? How should we respond to confessing these truths? And so Lord's Day 23 talks about that. So let's confess this together. Respond to the questions, please. What does it help you now that you believe all this? That I am a righteous, that I'm in Christ before God, and an heir of eternal life. How are you righteous before God? Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. That is, although my conscience accuses me that I have grievously sinned against all the commandments of God and have never kept any of them, and am still prone to all evil, yet God, but without mine, of mere grace, grants and imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I had never committed nor had any sins, and had myself accompanied all the obedience which Christ has fulfilled for me, if I only accept such benefit with a believing heart. Why do you say that you are righteous by faith only? Not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith, but because only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God. And I can receive the same and make it my own in no other way than by faith only. Amen. Saints of God, question and answer 60 is one of the most precious questions and answers in this whole catechism. I mean, typically, question and answer 1 is the most beloved, but I would say this is a very close second. Question and answer, this is the most important question of your entire life. How are you righteous before God? It displays the gospel in its entirety, in its honesty, without speaking of our sin so lightly. It puts everything up at the forefront. The first part is our sin, what we bring to the table. This is what we bring to the table. We have a conscience that accuses us that we have grievously sinned against all the commandments of God and have never kept any of them and am still prone to all evil. So this speaks of at least two things. One, that we have grievously sinned against God and have trashed all of his commandments, and our record shows for it. But even after conversion, we still struggle with our sin. Which, if it was left right there, it's like, well, what's the point of being a Christian? What difference does it make? But the difference is those two words, yet God, but God. It follows a couple of passages from Scripture where Paul says that we are dead in sin. We are children of wrath, but God. God is the hero of our story, of our life. We are not the hero of any story, especially within Scripture. It is God without any merit of mine, because as the Catechism just explains, all we bring to the table is our sin, without any merit of mine, of mere grace. God grants and imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness. It encapsulates so much about what the gospel actually provides. It provides a perfect satisfaction, meaning that the sins that you and I have committed have been satisfied. What does that mean? That God, in his justice, should have condemned you for the sins that you and I have committed. That we deservingly should have hell waiting for us. But God provides, just like he provided for Adam even after the fall, even after he was thrown out of the Garden of Eden because of his rebellion, God provided him clothing and a promise. And so God provides us a promise as well, and clothing of Christ's righteousness, a promise that our sins are not too much for him because Jesus paid for it all. And his holiness and his righteousness is also given to us. And this really explains afterwards what justification means. It's this giant, you know, theological term, but it's broken up into two clauses here, which are very important. Maybe we've memorized justification. To be justified means to be living as just as if I have never sinned, which is very true. But it's not the whole story. It's not the full truth of how we how God has given to us the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness. Yes, the slate has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus as if we had never sinned, so that on the day of judgment we can approach God and what he sees in us is a sinless person, actually his sinless son or daughter, because he adopts his children. But also had myself, as if I have accomplished all the obedience which Christ has fulfilled for me, which is the second half of justification that is equally as marvelous. That on the day of judgment, when God looks into your heart and your soul, not only does he see someone who has not committed any sin, but who has positively obeyed him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, so that when he looks at your track record, he doesn't say sinner. He doesn't see all the commandments you have broken. He sees all the commandments you have obeyed. You think, that can't be me. I'm not sinless. I am not a righteous person. But by faith, by trusting in what God has provided, this benefit becomes ours. And that's what the last part says. If only I accept such a benefit with a believing heart. And if this seems to be too good to be true, right? How can this be so? Wouldn't people take advantage of this? This is free grace. And yet, many people reject it because it's foolish, because it requires that we humble ourselves, because our hearts are hardened. Which in the Word of God tells us how we are able to accept such a gift with a believing heart. It's because God changes our hearts from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. It is all of God. It is all of his work. And therefore, all of the glory goes to God in God alone. And we stand as the recipients of this marvelous grace that we just sung. And so, let's conclude our summary of Lord's Day 23 with that.